try not to weary you tonight and hold you late. I just talk to you a little bit, and if you'll bear with me, we'll try our best not to weary you. But I'd like for you to turn to John tonight with me, if you would, the first John. Turn over about the fourth chapter. 1 John, 4th chapter, 1st verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Reading the whole chapter, I'd like for us to take a thought here tonight and see if we can just express one or two things. Maybe in our thought, I don't know that we will, but we may run over to the 12th or 13th chapter here of the book of Revelation. It really depends on just which way the Spirit will go tonight. Like I said, I know that I'm running late as far as being here tonight, and I don't want to weary you, but I'd like to try to bring out a few thoughts if I can and share my enthusiasm and some of the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I wanted to bring out a few things the other night, and I didn't get to, but maybe tonight we can. Now, one of the things that John is trying to express here to us, or expressing in his words, is a way whereby we might find security. In other words, there has to be a place of safety in the Lord. You know, in the world today, there are all kinds of spirits. All kinds of things are being taught. I really don't believe that ever in the history of the world before that there's ever been a time just like the time we're living in. I've been in the ministry for over 20 years, and we've taught across the nation, different places, into the islands. And I've never, in my ministry, I've never seen a time like today. Today is one of the strangest times that I've ever known. And I believe it's one of the strangest times that people have ever entered into. Never been a time like this time. And especially this year. To me, this year is the beginning of a new thing. I believe that with all of my heart. Every spiritual thing has a natural parallel. And God tells us in His Word that the best way for us to understand spiritual things is to be able to tell the signs of the time by the natural allegoric types. Paul was a spiritual man, and the Bible tells us that he that is spiritual judgeth all things. A man that is spiritual cannot be judged of anybody. If you are a real spiritual being tonight, no one can judge you because you can be judged of no one. So you can't judge a man that's spiritual. To God, he stands or falls. God's already judged him. All of your judgment has nothing to do with his life. God will not listen to one thing. You can't lay one thing to the charge of God's elect, not one thing. It's God that judgeth, God that justifieth by the blood of Christ. But he that is spiritual, he judgeth everybody, and he judgeth everything. He hath a right to do that. He has to do it according to righteous judgment, but he judgeth all things. And we being spiritual, we judge the things that are around us. We behold the stars and the clouds and the trees, and all of our environment, and we're made to understand by that these things are placed in life for signs and for seasons. Even the wise men of old, the way that they knew that Christ had been born into the world was according to the signs of the stars. The Bible said that the stars declare his handiwork. All of the heavens give forth his knowledge. The Bible said in the end time that the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth and the heavens and the sea and all in the earth. And I believe that what God was telling us was that in the end of the world, there would come forth a great spiritual revelation or unveiling of the Spirit of God and who He is and what He is and His purpose in the world. And through this, we would learn that everything in the earth, everything that's in heaven, everything that's in the sea, has a typical meaning or a spiritual understanding veiled within its creative form. I believe that's what God was saying. That in the latter times, that we would learn and we would understand. Look at the stars. The Bible said every star differeth in glory. Is that right? Every star. And if stars represent people, as I spoke here the other night, if they represent people, then every person differeth in glory. Every person has their own proper perspective in the mind of God. Every person is special with God. They have their own life. They have their own glory. Elijah was a great prophet. He'd done great things. But when Elisha came, Elisha was altogether different from Elijah. Is that right? And he'd done great things. His glory different. Is that right? It was the same way with Moses. Moses was a great prophet. But when Joshua came, it was different altogether. Is that right? Look at the difference between the prophet Elijah and the prophet John the Baptist. John came, never worked a miracle, but yet he was in the same spirit, the same power of Elijah. Is that right? According to the Bible, he could work many mighty miracles because the Bible said he was in the same spirit, the same power. And it was evident that he came in the same spirit because Elijah was a man that lived in the wilderness. When John came from his youth, he went out into the wilderness. He stayed in the wilderness. It was evident the same spirit was upon him. The same anointing was upon him. But he never worked any miracles. See, his glory was different from that which God had given to Elijah in that day. John, in the same spirit, in the same power, in the same anointing, had to go to the chop block and have his head cut off, while the other anointing or the same spirit on Elijah took him away into the heavenlies. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people try to make one man do like another man or one man act like another man. You can't do that. God never called people to be like that. Somebody said, but if this person had the same spirit and the same power and the same understanding, he would do the same things. He would not. There is nothing to prove that. That's not Bible, and there's nothing to prove that. It is a positive fact that John had the same spirit of Elijah. And the Bible said the same anointing of Elijah and the same power of Elias. But he worked altogether different. If he had the same spirit, the same anointing, the same power, then why wasn't John translated? Or why wasn't he caught up in a fiery chariot like Elijah of old? Now, when you learn that, I want you to come and explain it to me. You love the Lord? You know, we just can't mess with God's business, can we? We just can't make God do it the way we want it done. You know, God has an originality, and God does things like that to stop you and I from meddling with his business. You know, if God wasn't original, if God didn't do things his own way, if God didn't raise up things in his own order, we'd get some kind of monopoly on it, you know, and we'd sit down and we'd work us out a little chart over here that said verse 25 in book such and such, you know, and when we got through, everybody would have to go down the same path. And then the devil would have a neat little monopoly over God's work and God's people, and they could move it around like a chessboard, you know, and work it like a Ouija board. But God is so original that he might bring forth life in a peanut over here, and he might bring forth life in popcorn over here. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, he's God. He does what he wants to whenever he gets ready. And if Brother Pike don't like it, he don't ask me nothing about it. That's what makes me love him. He's so original. Hallelujah. You're wonderful to God. Did you know that? Somebody feels that somebody else is very special and the other person is not too special. But I want you to know tonight, you're special to God. You're the only thing that can keep you from being special is an old spirit of jealousy, an old fault-finding spirit, an old spirit of unbelief. If you've got that kind of spirit, you're special to God, all right. You're specially going to hell. You're specially created and lined up for hell and a brute beast made to be taken and burned. You understand what I'm saying? But now, if you can love the Lord, if you can be the right kind of fella, if you can love your fellow man, John said, God is love. If we can swear to our own hurt, have that wonderful spirit of fellowship, wanting to lift our brother up and be our brother's keep and bring forth something for our brother, and not always trying to do like Cain did, kill our brother and tear down our brother and put our brother on our feet so that we can lift ourselves up. When we get away from that kind of spirit, then we become special to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God's as big as he is, ain't you? I'm glad God got plenty of room for all of us in heaven. He's got plenty of work for all of us to do. He's got plenty of reward for all of us. He's got plenty of glory for all of us. And the multitudes can hear everybody tell the story of Jesus. I could come along and preach to 10 million people, Brother Ben, and then when I get through, they can shout and praise God and have a wonderful time. And then when I get through preaching, Brother Ben can come and preach to them, and they can still shout and praise God, and all of us can be laborers together. What a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Everybody in this day wants to lift himself up above somebody else. But I'm glad the Bible said in that day he alone shall be exalted, Jesus alone. Hallelujah. On the mountain there stood Brother Elijah and there stood Brother Moses. And they were wonderful. How many of you agree to that? Here stood Brother Moses on the top of that mountain, and here stood Brother Elijah. And Peter, he was standing over there and he was trying to figure out what to do. Now he thought this one is a good one and that one is a good one and that one's a good one. And I don't know which one to follow, so I just make a trinity out of it. Isn't that right? But the voice from heaven said, we don't believe in trinity. We got a oneness up here and we'll just take one, hear ye him. In that day he alone shall be exalted. Moses is great. Elijah's great. Other prophets and preachers are great, but not like the man of Galilee. Hallelujah, the man of Galilee. He alone in that day shall be exalted. No orator shall save them. No evangelist shall save them. No prophet shall save them. No preacher shall save them. But Jesus Christ alone in that day shall be exalted. Hallelujah. That's wonderful, isn't it? So then we're living in a glorious day. God does what he wants to. He has an originality. He does things exactly the way that he sees fit to do it. Now, I want to tell you something tonight, children of God, and I want you to catalog this in your mind tonight. The Bible said to take heed how that you hear. When a preacher's preaching something, the Bible said, it's not him that speaketh, but God that speaketh. And therefore, it would behoove us to take heed how that we hear. You understand? Whatever the preacher says, take heed how you hear what he says. Not only should you take heed how that you hear, but the Bible tells us that when we take heed how that we hear, that we should give the more earnest heed to what we've heard, lest at any time we should let it slip. Seeing that the angels receive the just recompense of reward, for every transgression, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He tells us to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that right? So then, God is going to do something new. You believe that? God's going to do something new. God is original. So he wants us to hear. He wants us to give heed. Because at any time, God is subject to do something new. Now we got what we call a new year here. Is that right? And I believe God's going to do a new thing this year. You know, some people feel like God's done run slap out. And he hadn't got anything new to. You know, they come and hear the preacher. And they sit back there and they say, well, now I've done heard him preach. I done heard his sermon. I know his message. I know his revelation. We'll go to church tonight anyway because that's the only place we got to go. I tell you what, if I had that kind of attitude, I'd quit church. I would. I'd go to the ball game or somewhere. I'd do it just to get something new if I had that kind of outlook. I want you to know that when a preacher comes behind the sacred desk, that the preacher never gives out. He never gives out. The preacher, as long as he's in this world, has something new. Are you listening? Now, somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't make any difference. You don't believe that. It's still true anyway. The Bible said, can your unbelief make God's faith of none effect? See, it doesn't matter what you believe about it. It's what the Bible says about it. Now, you say, how can a preacher always have something new, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said it's not him that speaketh, but it's the Heavenly Father speaking from within him. And the Heavenly Father never runs out of something new. He's always got something new. So then when you catalog in your little computer up here what you think the preacher is and what he said, all he'll ever know, then that just is a display or dissimulation of your ignorance, that's all. You're just exhibiting or putting on exhibition your ignorance that the world might see it, because God isn't like that at all. And Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Is that right? So then there's something new. God said, I will do a new thing in the world today. It doesn't matter how many ministers have preached. It doesn't matter how many revivals have come forth. It doesn't matter how many great things have taken place. God still has a new thing. and the new thing belongs to the church. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, why don't you tell us about some of these new things, all right? Here's one of them. The Bible said, my mercy is new every day. There's one of them right there. Have you had his new mercy for today? All right, I need it every day, don't you? Hallelujah. All right, you want to hear about something else new? God never has before in the history of the world raptured the church, but he's going to rapture the church. That's going to be a new thing. How do you know that's true? Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Isn't that right? In his day, he said, there's nothing new under the sun. That which has been will be. Because God is brand spanking new. How do you know that? Isn't that wonderful? They say America gets tired, you know, quicker than any other nation. She gets weary. Has more new inventions, but always gets weary. But you know what? God can always take care of us. 10,000 years from now, after we've seen new thing after new thing after new thing, 10,000 years from now, God will come up with a new thing. Science can't do it. They're running out. But God's still brand spanking new. I'm just as excited tonight in serving God, or more excited than I was to start with. Years ago, I started serving God, Brother Loggins. I was so excited. It took me for over 20 years to try to calm down. And just about the time I try to calm down, I get all excited again. Because God does a new thing. It's just such joy serving God. I made the statement the other night. People couldn't possibly see the things that God's got and be like they are. The Bible said, be of good cheer, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. Are you of good cheer tonight? Be of good cheer. Somebody said, I'm worried, I'm disturbed, I'm distorted. But the Bible said, be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Isn't that something to be cheerful about? Hallelujah. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer, Jesus said. You don't have to worry. Somebody said, but I'm troubled. But Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. There's something wrong if you're troubled tonight. The Bible said serving God is joy. Where's your joy tonight? The Bible said serving God's peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. Then why are you troubled tonight? Why is your heart troubled tonight? It's proof that you're in a condition of unbelief. Now, I ask this question tonight. How could a person possibly be cast down and be not of good cheer, not have faith in God, not be bubbling over, as David said, the cup running over? How could they do that and believe the word of God? You know what makes a man sad is the fact that he feels he's going to die. Has that ever made you sad? Well, it's made me sad a number of times, you know. I don't like the idea of dying. How many like the idea of dying? I don't like the idea of dying. I don't like that. That makes you sad. See, I like to live. I like to breathe. I like to talk. I like to fellowship. I like to do something. I don't like to be sick. I don't like to be cast down. I don't like to be despondent. God doesn't want you to be that way. I said the other night, God doesn't want you to be sick. When we're sick, when we're weary, when we're cast down, when we're worn, God isn't pleased with that. It's not God's will for that. Did you know that God, when certain people came back from Canaan, they discouraged the hearts of God's people and caused God's people to be cast down? How have you listened to what I'm saying? And did you know it upset God so that he swore in his wrath and said, they will never enter into my rest because they did that? And I looked over at old Brother Joshua, old Brother Caleb. He said, now these boys here has got the right testimony right here. He said, these are of another spirit. Another spirit. You know, I said the other night, Paul said, pray or believe that God will give you the spirit of revelation. The church don't have the spirit of revelation, but Paul said, may God give you or grant unto you the spirit of revelation. We need to be of another spirit. We need to get the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of our eyes open. How do you agree to that? So he said, Caleb and Joshua, he said, my servants said, they got a different testimony here. And it was good in the sight of God. And it encouraged God and encouraged God's people and caused the people of God to rise up and want to go and inherit the land. When you've got an old long face, an old cast down spirit, and you go over here to a brother you know, and you start saying, brother, serving God is joy. And the brother looks at you and he says, well, are you serving God? Say, Yes, sir, I'm serving God. He wants to change the subject. Isn't that right? You know, some people, I don't mean this to be comical, but some people are like the little story of Chicken Little. How have you ever read that when you was a kid? And had some little acorn dropped on top of his head, and he went running through the world in the barnyard, you know, saying the sky's falling, everything's gone. Too bad, too bad. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's right. You can work 10 years, Brother Ben, to build up a church, to do something for God, but let a little Chicken Little come along and let him have some kind of dream or some kind of nightmare, and he tells everybody everything's going to cave in. Discourage the hearts of the people. Come back, whoa, 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 can't go no more. And tears down everything. Always got a dream, always got a vision, always got a prophecy, always got something to discourage the hearts of God's people and tear them down and keep them in misery and keep them confused. You can say amen or oh me. You can work 50 years to do something for the kingdom of God, and some little Chicken Little, as we say, will come by, and as far as they're concerned, everything's going to cave in overnight. But I got news for you. You want to hear it? Glad tidings of great joy? You know what it says? Everything's going to be all right. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. It don't make no difference what you dreamed. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Somebody tells me a dream today about one thing, and they come back and tell me a dream just exactly the reverse of it the next night. And I'll tell you what, I'd go insane. My mind would just crack up on me if I paid any attention to them. You know what I'd do? And when they get through telling me all about that, I say, that's good and well. Maybe the Lord's trying to warn us. Maybe he's trying to tell us something. But you know what I'd like for you to do? Have faith in God. Take the Word. Whatever the Word says, forget about your dreams. Take God's Word. He didn't say go through the land preaching a dream. Go through the land preaching a vision. He didn't say go through the land preaching some kind of gift, but preach the Word. Hallelujah. That's what's got the church to all to pieces now. Somebody prophesies one thing and somebody speaks in tongues and interprets another thing. Somebody tells a vision another thing, and they got the church split up like splinters, and they're half scared to death, and they don't know what's right and what ain't right. Like I said today, you know, the Bible said, withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. Now, somebody saying, Brother Pike, how would you interpret that? I would interpret that just exactly the way that I read it. That's the best way to interpret it, just exactly like you read it. When it said, withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly, it meant just exactly what it said. But you know, five people in the church, along with the pastor, will withdraw from some brother walking disorderly, and 15 others will feel sorry for the brother, won't listen to the preacher, won't do what the preacher says, and go over here and mess around with the brother or the sister. Come on, folks. Violate God's Word. And the poor boy that's walking disorderly, he just keeps on walking disorderly. Because they sympathize with him. They got a chip on their shoulder anyway. They're not too proud of the preacher because he's done cut across their grain a few times, you know. And they kind of sympathize with him anyway. And it wouldn't bother them too much if they had another pastor anyway. So, they're, like they say, a sick sheep, you know. He won't follow the pastor. He'd rather pick out somebody in the congregation and go trailing off after them. You know, I want to go with somebody in the congregation and stay away from God and away from the pastor. And the poor boy that's walking disorderly, he's so confused, he don't know whether he's walking disorderly or the pastor's walking disorderly. So he gets to thinking maybe the pastor's out of order. And the poor fella don't know what to do. Come on, folks. But I'll tell you what, if we would link ourselves together and preach the Word. And brother, when Brother Ben turned one out up there on the hillside, Brother Pike didn't take him down here. Come on, folks. And when Brother Pike turned one down, Brother Ben wouldn't get him off in a corner up yonder either. Come on. And when Brother Ben and Brother Pike turned him out, Brother Henry Green wouldn't take him in over yonder. Come on, folks. Or somebody wouldn't take him up yonder, Brother Brown Tabernacle. When we speak the same thing, see eye to eye, say the same thing, then God's going to bring us together. And the rapture's going to come. We'll get the spots and blemishes out of the church. Woo, I feel good, don't you? Hallelujah. Brother Al sings that song, feel good, 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 I feel good. Hallelujah. When we can link arms together, see eye to eye, not break ranks, not pierce each other through. Be brothers in God and preach the word. Whatever the word says, preach this word. Stay with this word. Then God will honor his word. God will restore to the church every missing thing there is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer, folks. It's all right. You might have had a bad dream, but be of good cheer. It's all right. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but wait a minute now, Brother Pike. Wait a minute now. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I dreamed my baby died. I dreamed my grandmother died. I dreamed this one died and that one died. And I dreamed of a wreck over here and I dreamed of something over yonder. And that's true. You say, well, don't you think that's God? Could have been. Not said he wasn't. Should we mock it? Certainly not. It might be the Holy Ghost speaking to us. But what we need to do is to understand. We need to stay with God's word and then we'll get the understanding of it. There's been dreams where just about every child that I got died at one time or another, including myself and my wife and the family, over the period of years. I didn't mock it. I didn't say anything against it. But I didn't get sad. I didn't get cast down. I said, the word of God says. And I went to the Lord, and just like when the Lord said, get the child, take him out of here, go into Egypt, because Herod's going to seek his life, I took it as the warning that the devil was on my trail. And brother, I began to pray and seek God and brush up and check up and find out if I had a leak in the bucket somewhere. That's what I did. Like a woman come to me one time and she said, Brother Pine, she said, I dreamed that your wife died. I was enough to shake you up. Was out on the field working many years ago. Said, I dreamed she died. I said, you did? She said, yes. And I found out that she had just, I knew for a fact, that she had had a dream about her brother getting killed in a certain place, and her brother got killed, just exactly like she dreamed it. So you can imagine how I felt about my wife. But I prayed, I called on God, I went to the Word. I said, Lord, your Word said, and I believe in Jesus. You said, whatever I ask in your name, you would grant it. I said, God, that's a dream, but this is the Word. God, you can make that dream of none effect by the Word. The dream can't make your word of none effect, but the word can make the dream of none effect. You believe that? Ooh, I feel good. Be of good cheer. Hallelujah. Be of good cheer. If you got problems, be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? Amen. So I prayed and I talked to God and I looked to God. One night I was under a tent. A man of God came walking back through the crowd and he looked at me. He said, Brother Pike, he said, God revealed to me that there's something that you've been ringing the prayer bells of heaven about that you've been greatly concerned about. He said, and you've asked God for a certain thing and the Lord told me to tell you, I've granted it unto you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, there's my wife sitting there tonight. That was many years ago. The word done away with the dream. Praise God. God ain't going to run his church by no dreams and visions. He's going to run his church by the word. He's God. God's the word. He's the big chief. Hallelujah. Whatever he says is all right with me. So then, there she sits tonight, whole and healthy. God has blessed her. Somebody said, well, she still might die, you know. Well, you ever thought about you might too? Amen. You ever thought about it like that? But anyway, after many long years, she's still very much alive and she's here. I thank God for the dreamer. I thank God for the dream. But don't you thank God for the word? Hallelujah. How sweet. How wonderful, how wonderful. So I thank God tonight because the Word is here. The Word is with us, folks. Don't get your faith in dreams. Don't get your faith in prophecy. Don't get your faith in visions. Don't get your faith in feelings, experiences. But place your faith in the Word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And when the Word has the preeminence, God will do something in your life. When you get your faith in dreams and feelings and all of these other things, then you get sad. You get cast down. Look, any time a dream makes you sad, makes you cast down, then you're getting in trouble. You'll have all kind of feelings. If I went by my feelings, I'd be like the centipede. I'd never put forth another lick. I'd quit. If I went by, like there's a fella, he had a some kind of whatever it was. He said, I saw Brother Pike and said he was dead before the top ever went on this church. I said he ought not never have said that, or said that grieved me, that hurt me. God didn't tell him that. And the man was dead before the church top went on. How do you know you can't play with God? Like the other day down here just a few days ago, there I sat or was sitting in a chair, standing up, walking, I don't know what it was, and I looked and saw the vision of Gary. Been praying, seeking God, and I saw Gary standing out here, and I saw a wreck. I told my wife, I said, I saw a wreck. I saw Gary standing there blind. I said, Brother Toby was connected with it, but I didn't seem to see Toby in the vision. I said, Gary didn't seem to be hurt. We come home within 2 or 3 days. I didn't get to talk with Gary. If I had it, God would have given it to me. No doubt I would have told Gary. He could have been on guard, but God intended for the thing to come to pass because he was taking care of Gary. Some spiritual significance. In 2 or 3 days, I was standing down here, and somebody, Toby, came up. And Toby said, Brother Gary just had a wreck. Brother, he totaled his car, totaled his wagon, whatever it was. I saw in a vision also that a number of the wrecks was caused from these wagons you got. What do you call them? Buses? What are they? Vans. Vans, because on the back, I done warned the brethren against them thing before because I didn't feel good about them. And I saw in the vision that as I saw one of them go past, I looked and the back of it didn't have the right traction on it. And because of that, it was dangerous. And sure enough, it might have been one of them that Gary had the wreck in. Is that what it was, a van? All right, now, you understand what I'm saying? The vision was of God. But I didn't place my faith in the vision. If I could have got to Gary, I told Gary to pray to God and believe God because the warning came. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. God's good, ain't he? Like somebody said, wait a minute now, Brother Pike, them visions don't never fail. Like Brother Branham said, no, they said concerning Brother Branham, never one of his visions ever failed. Come on. Isn't that what they say? But what did Brother Branham say about going back to Africa? What about some of the statements he made that he was going to do according to what he understood of God and seen of God, but he never did do it? Come on, folks. Come on. See, God has his way. A lot of times God shows us things in vision, and those things are conditionally. Those things are conditional. Is that right? God said, get out of this place. Take that child down into Egypt. Said, Herod's going to seek the life of that child. God wasn't playing. Joseph listened to him. He got that baby. He went on out there in Egypt, didn't he? God ordained that it be that way. Why? Because it's written in the scriptures, out of Egypt I've called my son. Hallelujah. That scripture had to be fulfilled. God ordained that it be that way. The prophets had said before the Son of God was ever born. Looking down through the telescopic view of time, they looked down there and they saw that Herod would be jealous of that kingdom and of that king coming in and seek that child's life. And said, a voice is heard, a crying. Is that right? Crying and weeping. Mourning. Is that right? Rachel couldn't be comforted. Are you listening? That was the morning. Oh my.
The prophet said there's going to come a time of mourning for the children. He said because their children were not. Is that right? Did it come? Herod slayed them, just literally hundreds and perhaps thousands of them. Because the prophet had spoken it, the vision showed it, it came to pass. But Joseph did exactly what God told him to do. He took the warning. Somebody said, well, if he'd have stayed there, they wouldn't have killed him anyway. They would have killed him. Somebody said, oh, they wouldn't have killed Jesus. They'd have killed him just like it had killed the rest of them. Jesus was a human being just like you and I. Somebody said, oh, they couldn't have killed him. If they couldn't kill him, why did they kill him at the cross? They killed him over there. They could have killed him back there too. When the devil told him to jump off the mountain, if he'd jumped off the mountain, it would have killed him. The devil knew it would have killed him or never told him to jump off the mountain. Come on, folks! Obedience is better than sacrifice. God isn't going to run his church with a vision. God isn't going to run his church by anything less than the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word still is God. And the Word is the same to every generation. Is that right? When God does something, he does something by his Word. The Bible said when they were sick, he sent forth his Word and healed them. He didn't send forth a vision and heal them. He didn't send forth a dream and heal them. He didn't send forth a gift and heal them. The Bible said he sent forth his Word and healed them. Come on. When the people were sick, he sent forth his Word and he healed them. The Bible said when they got bound with devils over there and God got ready to cast the devils out, he didn't send forth a vision. He didn't send forth a gift. He sent forth his Word. And by his Word he cast out the unclean spirits. Come on, folks. God got ready to make the world. He didn't send for a vision. He didn't send for a gift. He didn't send for a preacher. The Bible said by the Word of God he upholds all things. By the Word of God he spoke the world into existence. It's by the Word of God that he made humanity. When he said, let there be, and there was. And faith today is the same. When the Bible says, the Word says, that it shall come to pass, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Word says. And the Word tonight, when the Word says that, brother, if you'll believe that, you will be saved if you'll do what it says. Is that right? It's the same way. Now listen, the Bible said, my God shall supply all of your needs. I don't care what your dreams are, your visions are, your prophecies are. If they don't line up with the Word, they're of the devil and they're not of God. The Bible said, try the spirits. Many spirits have gone out into the world, but every spirit that confesseth Christ, that's the one. That's the one. The one that confesseth Christ. Who is Christ? He's the Word. When a spirit comes forth, don't try the Word by the Spirit. Try the Spirit by the Word. You already listen. The Word said, Balaam, don't go over there and curse them people. Old brother Balaam, he got money on his mind. He got things on his mind. He said, well, Lord. Lord said, okay, brother Balaam, go on over. Go on over and do what you want to. You're stubborn, you're going to do it anyway. He didn't tell him that part. Like a donkey, go on over there and do it anyway. Are you listening? God told him not to do it. Somebody gets in a double marriage, they say, brother Pike, you know I feel pretty good about this. I say, you do. They say, yeah, I feel pretty good about it. Why? Said, well, I prayed about the thing and God told me to go ahead. Said, what do you think about it? Exactly what you said. I said, go ahead. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, do you believe it was really God that told me to go ahead? I said, yes, sir, absolutely. I said, I believe he told you just exactly like he did Balaam. I said, he told Balaam in his word what not to do, and Balaam was determined to do it, and finally God said, just go on, Balaam. Go on. So old Balaam felt pretty good about it. He thought God had really cut him in on the keel, you know. That's right. He felt pretty good about the thing. He thought, well, here again, I can have God and have everything goes along with it too. Amen. Come on. Somebody said, I can have God and have that old lying tongue of mine too. I can have God and have that old gossiping tongue of mine too. I can have God and still hate my mother-in-law too. Come on, folks. I can have God and always talk about my son-in-law and daughter-in-law. Come on. I can have God and still frolic down at the beach in my bathing suit. I can have God and still watch a little television on the side of the things of the world. Come on, folks. Are you listening? I can have God and still watch a few ball games and play a little bit on the side. Are you listening? I can have God and go where I want to and do what I want to when I get ready. Dip a little, chew a little, puff a little, and huff a little. Have a little temper fit and slam the door. I can still have God. Say, now, Lord, don't you see it my way? The Lord says, go right on, son. Go right on, daughter. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. 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 I must have found somebody's streak, you know. I must have come to some place where somebody lives. Everybody sure is getting quiet. Hallelujah. Now he said, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, try the Spirit, see if they be of God. Amen. I believe in prophecy. I believe in visions. I believe in dreams. But I believe in the Word first. I believe if we got a vision, try it by the Word. The Bible says when people prophesy, judge the prophecy. Is that right? Let one prophesy, let the others judge. Is that right? Are you listening now? Now somebody said, well, what do you think that means? I mean, I think it means what he said. Somebody said, all right, the next time somebody prophesies, I'm going to sit there and see whether that's God or not. I don't think that's what it meant. How somebody said, you say, it meant what he said. I really do. But I don't think that's what he said. I think when he said, judge the prophecy, that meant you better pay attention and listen to see what's being said. Are you listening? Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean, use righteous judgment. You understand? Well, he said, what about the other? It said, try the spirits. That's a different thing. Try the spirits. I believe we ought to try the Spirit by the Word. And then when we try the Spirit by the Word, then we'll judge the prophecy. How many of you know that people prophesy presumptuously? That's right. They prophesy presumptuously. The Bible said a prophet prophesies presumptuously. That prophet shall die. Is that right? To prophesy presumptuously is the sign your own death warrant. God don't want presumption in prophesying. God wants people to live right. If you're going to prophesy, you need to live right, brother and sister. You can't chew on the cud and spit and dip and fuss and do everything else and then come in the anointing of God come on you and prophesy. You'll be like Balaam was. You need to live right. Somebody said, well, I still got a gift. You might still have a gift. Balaam had a gift, but that didn't satisfy God having a gift. God wanted to see Balaam live right. The Bible said God had Balaam killed because of his evil. Is that right? Called him a soothsayer. Is that right? Come on. But the Bible said he could see God with his eyes open. He had visions. Is that right? The trouble with the world today, they want to follow everything but the Word. I believe what we need to do is follow the Word. That's why I make the statement like I do. Are you listening? It doesn't make any difference what your dream said. It doesn't make any difference what your vision said. The Bible said for you to be of good cheer. The Bible said for you not to let your heart be troubled. Neither by vision or dream or whatnot. Paul wrote him a letter over there and said, don't let nothing trouble you by letter, vision, whatever it might be. He said, just take what the Word said. Hallelujah. Let that be sufficient. Is that right? Jesus said, let not your heart be afraid. Don't let it be troubled. Is that right? Being afraid, that's fear. And the Bible said, he that hath fear hath torment. Is that right? I don't want to be tormented. The Bible said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you've got a spirit of fear, it's the spirit of the devil. The devil gave you that spirit. God didn't give it to you. If you're always fearful, always afraid, always shaken, always cast down, always troubled, the devil gave you that. God didn't give it to you. How do you know that God's grieved when you're grieved? God don't want us to be troubled. He don't want us to be aggravated. Because God's a spirit. God dwells in this temple. And when you're grieved, God's grieved. But God wants you to be of good cheer. Now listen to this just for a few minutes. I'm going to close in a few minutes. All right, listen to that just a few minutes now. You might have a vision. You might have a dream. You might have a feeling. Somebody gets up and says, I don't feel too good this morning. I don't mean nothing. A lot of mornings I got up and didn't feel too good. Be the best day I ever had. I ain't got nothing to do with it. God didn't tell us to go by feelings. He didn't say the just shall live by feelings. He said just shall live by faith. And faith come by the hearing of the word. He didn't say the just shall live by visions and dreams. He said the just shall live by faith. And faith by the hearing of the word. Is that right? The mind of Christ, please God, He wants it in every human being. Is that right? Now listen, folks. I believe it like this. I can't help what dreams say, what visions say, what you say, or they say, or anybody else says. The Bible said, let every man be a liar. That takes in you and me and them and all the rest. Prophets and evangelists and preachers and whatever. Before and after and whenever is to come. Let all of them be a liar, but the word of God be true. Now, that's the place I like right there. I might not never find a mutual basis of agreement with you on your visions. I might not never find a mutual basis of agreement with you on your ideas, your feelings, or whatever you've done. But this is our absolute. This is where we come together. This is our mutual place of agreement. All see eye to eye, all speak the word, the same thing. All walk hand in hand, is that right? And when we do it, the church will quit being confused. All right, listen now. What does the word say? Now that we know that we're supposed to follow the word, what does the word say? The word says that my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. I don't care what kind of dream you dream. You say, what is your need? We need to stay alive so that we can praise God. Come on, folks. We need to have some bread on the table. If we need a car to ride around in, He said you'd have it. If we need some money, He said there's plenty of it. God owns all the gold and silver. The cattle of 1,000 hills. Said if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. Come on, folks, is that right? My God shall supply all of your needs. Is that right? And the Bible tells us that it's God's will for us to know all things. Is that right? For we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Not some things, all things. A lot of folks say, well, I guess there's just some things that you don't know and God didn't intend for us to know. I wonder where you ever read that in the Bible. I've never read that. I've read it from cover to cover. I've never read anything like that in the Bible. God never did say that in the Bible. Jesus said, what my Father has made known to me, I have made known to you. And He said, we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. That takes in a lot of territory, don't it? I like that, don't you? You know, it's something about Jesus. Everything is all. My God shall supply all of your needs. My God, He wants you to know all things. Is that right? And the Bible said all things work together for your good. Is that right? God, He promised in His word to give you the desires of your heart. Is that right? God wants you to have the desires of your heart. What is your heart's desire, Jesus? What is Jesus, the word? What does the word say? Have the desires of your heart. I like that, don't you? It just boomerangs, it goes around and around and around. All right, then what is all of our needs? He's given us all things that pertain unto life. How do you know that? What pertains unto life? Health, happiness, food, clothing. Is that right? Soberness, a good wife, a good job, whatever we need. Peace, joy, happiness. Somebody said, Brother Pike, that's what I'm praying for. Well, you're running behind. What are you praying for something He's already given you for? See? In other words, you're running behind. Why don't you spend your time praying for some soul to come to God instead of begging God for something He's already given you? Why don't you start using what God gave you and go be about the Father's business? You know, that's the trouble with the church world and the sons and daughters of God. They spend all their time begging God and pleading with God to take care of them and to give them something God's already given them, instead of thanking God for it, rejoicing over it, and realizing that all things are theirs, whether life, death, things present or things to come. Instead of taking that by faith in God and going on and doing something for the kingdom of God and winning souls and getting their mind on their Father's business and being about their Father's business, instead of doing that, they just over and over, God, I can't pay my rent. God, I can't pay my bill. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, I feel like I'm dying with cancer. God, I got this disease, and I got trouble with my wife, and I got trouble with my husband. I got trouble with my children. I'm worried about my mother. You know, devil, he keeps us busy all the time. Isn't that right? If you don't have time to worry about your mother, he'll give you time to worry about your sister. That's right. Every time they wanted to do anything for God, down in Egypt, Pharaoh always had some more brick to be made. Are you listening? Folks, let me tell you something. You can be a worrywart. That's right. Some folks start figuring from Monday till Saturday. And when Saturday comes, they got everything figured out. You know, they start figuring on Monday. They say, I'm going to make $50 today, $40 tomorrow, $30 the next day. And then they sum it all up and they say, yep, I can pay my bills. When Saturday comes, they say, honey, let's don't pay the bills this week. Let's go to Florida. Come on, folks. All the figuring went down the drain. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? So then, let's don't lean to our own understanding. The Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. Trust in God with all your heart. Amen. If the Word of God said, be of good cheer, let's just be of good cheer. If the Word of God said, don't let your heart be troubled, don't let it be troubled. If the Word of God said, God will take care of all of it, let God take care of all of it. Don't that make you feel better? Why, you couldn't help but be of cheer, good cheer if you believe that. Amen. We're on this side of Calvary, folks. It's not us living, but Jesus, and with all the benefits. You like that? I said it's not us living, but Jesus, with all the benefits. A whole lot I'd like to say tonight. Really, I would. I want you to stand with me. You got a lot of benefits. David said, now, look. He prayed, said, oh, my soul, don't forget all them benefits. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. Hallelujah. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful hour. Never been a deliverance in the history of the world like this deliverance. God said, Moses, go down in Egypt and tell Pharaoh to set them children free. Hallelujah. They've been worried about everything, and they've been a bunch of worry warts, and they've been under bondage to fear and frustration and this and that, and said, come on and get them over Jordan. Hallelujah. Get them out of that old wilderness of carnal reason. Get them over Jordan. And let's go into the Canaan land of the mind of Christ. And do like David said, enjoy all of these benefits. They tell me about 32,000 promises in this book. And Jesus said, all things are mine. So them 32,000 promises is mine. And I'd rather spend a whole lot of time trying to find out what they all say and enjoy them instead of worrying about them. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'm worried about being saved. Well, if you've never been saved, that's a good thing to be worried about. But now you people that's already been saved, how do you know what I said? You that's already been saved. Somebody said, when? From the foundation of the world. Elect in the Lord. Beloved in Christ Jesus. His workmanship in Christ. Somebody said, I want to go to heaven. That's wonderful. When you get up there, I'd like to have some fellowship with you. It's fine up here where we're at. So if you ever get ready, just come on up here. Got plenty of room up here. It's a wonderful place. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, if I just get over this, you know, about dying, that bothers me. Well, that's all right, too, because up here we don't fellowship that fella. You don't have any part or lot in this matter. We don't fellowship him up here. You understand what I'm saying?
The Bible said God has destroyed him that hath power over death. How do you know that? The Lord done destroyed the devil. There ain't no such thing as the devil to the saints of God. Come on, folks. Amen. Somebody said, well, what do you mean, Brother Potter? I mean what I said, brother. Somebody said, you mean to tell me you don't believe there's a devil? The Bible said, you want me to tell you again? The Bible said that God hath destroyed him. Who is him? The devil. Is that right? Him that hath power over death, God destroyed him. Is that right? Now, if God destroyed him, to me, he don't exist anymore. You know where he exists is at? In the figment of your imagination. Somebody said, now you mean to tell me that the devil ain't nothing but imagination? Where do you get that? The Bible said, casting down imagination. Every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Is that right? Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. There ain't no devil to the saints of God. Somebody said, you better not say that, Brother Pike. He'll get you. A lot of folks won't say it, you know what they're thinking. Uh-huh, there he goes boasting. You just wait till the devil will get him for that. Hallelujah. You know the Lord? The Bible said, behold, I give unto you power. Is that right? Over all the powers of the enemy. Is that right? What's the power of the enemy? Death. The Bible said we pass from. Is that right? Is that right? Come on, Bible scholars. We pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I hope I can make it over. I did make it over. I got over Jordan. To be carnally minded is death. I passed over into the mind of Christ. I'm over here in the world of light now, standing over here in the world of light, standing in the mind of Christ. I ain't going to go back into the old carnal mind of darkness and death. That's another world. Up here in heaven, it's bright, shiny, nice, light, sitting around in heavenly places up here, enjoying the presence of God. Two or three of us come together, and we get together and get to talking, and here comes the angels of God, and even the Holy Ghost comes around up here. Amen. God's up here. You love the Lord? Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. Brother Jim said last night he had a vision. Said in the vision, said he came up to me in the vision, and he said to me in the vision, he said, I looked at him and said, you're looking for something, Jimmy. And said, Jimmy, you know what you're looking for? Said, you're looking for that bright morning star. And he said, I looked at him and said, Jimmy, said, you found it. And Jimmy said, in the vision, he knew it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Hallelujah. You like that? I like that, don't you? He said, if you overcome, I'll give to you. And I used to wonder how he could do that. He said, I'll give you the bright in the morning star. You say, Lord, that's a mighty big star. How are you going to do that? They tell me stars is mighty big. Even the sun, you know, is a star. About 110 times bigger than the earth. I was trying to figure out. Now, I know that bright morning star couldn't figure out how they're going to get a hold of it. But hallelujah. The Bible said he's the bright in the morning star. He's the day spring from on high. Hallelujah. And I know now it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. For he said, in here, is that right? Until the day star dawn within your heart, is that right? And it will shine more and more to that millennium day, the perfect restoration day. Is that right? The day of God's rest. Hallelujah. What a beautiful time, what a beautiful day. I can't help but be of good cheer. I can't help but be of good cheer. The Bible says you draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. How many wells of salvation? All right, let's have a little joy. We need a little drink. Our cup can run over. Somebody else can get a drink. Hallelujah. Let's sing a little chorus together. Let it shine on me. Oh, let it shine on me.